And I labor is the title of the message today as we pull that up. And so you can kind of follow along with the notes. I hate to ask, but I'm going to have to ask somebody to get me a drink of water. My throat is so dry today. So if I could, my wife's going to take care of that for me. I appreciate that. All right. So as we take a look here, we're going to start reading at chapter 1, verse 27 in Colossians. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you remember, we preached on that main focus passage not too long ago. That's the only hope of glory is for Christ to be in us. It's the only hope of glory for anyone is for Christ to be in them. It's the mystery that it is being revealed to all people who will receive Him. And he goes on in verse 28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. It sounds pretty complete, doesn't it? That our desire should be, with every opportunity that we get, to present the gospel, to present the glory of God, to present the reason for the hope that we have. Now, we know from the beginning, Jesus has already told us that narrow is the way and there's few that find it. So we know that not everybody is going to receive. That's not our place to try to decide. If you wouldn't mind, you could just put that up on the pulpit. I wanted to let you guys know that there's different ways that we can do that. I want you to know that I will supply you with a lot of what you may need just to hand out. I have entire box of these Jesus movies, these discs. This is one way that we can get the gospel into somebody's home. And it's a very non-threatening way. If you give this to someone, they can take it or leave it. They can say, okay, thank you. And I've given them to people all over the world, literally. This is found to be in several different languages. And this is an evangelism tool that's used by missionaries all over the world. It was created for that purpose. This one actually has three different features on it. But these are free of charge for you to give out. And I have two and a half boxes of these. So please don't be afraid to take them. To make Jesus known. To preach Him among all peoples. Among all peoples that all men may know. Here's another item that I have for you. These are they look like just a simple business card, but this has to do with inviting people to church. It has our church name on it. It has the address. It has telephone numbers. It has website. It has a Facebook site. It has all the information for somebody who has who's high tech or low tech or no tech to be able to figure out how to get to this church so that they might be able to hear the message of hope, be able to meet all of you guys. I'm just going to tell you, if I came to this church and I saw your faces as I was coming in, the way you welcome people, I would feel welcomed. But I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of people that don't even know our church exists, and they just need a simple invitation. And so I offer these cards to you. In fact, I'm going to be holding these cards as you leave today so that you can take at least two of them, or more if you want more, but at least two of them to hand out to two people this week. You see, just to make Christ known. Okay? And so maybe you don't have all the answers to their questions. How many of us are afraid that we don't have all the answers to their questions if they ask us? Absolutely. Nobody has all the answers. Only God's got all the answers. But I can tell you, God will give us answers. And on the back of this card, there's actually a website that you can go to that has free answers to a lot of the questions in little video, short video forms. And I'll tell you what we're going to do with these. This year, starting with this Sunday night at the evening service, we're going to watch one of these little videos that are on the back of this card and have different subjects. And we're just going to review them ourselves right before we go into our Bible teaching each Sunday evening. And that way, you will have watched these videos too that you're going to be handing somebody else. But they have videos with answers to all kinds of questions on them. Archaeology, depression, Jesus, salvation, sexuality, Jehovah's Witnesses, evil, abortion, all about the Bible, evolution, marriage, suffering, science, Mormonism, God, Christianity, heaven, Noah's Ark, the Trinity, the truth about a lot of different issues, even pornography, homosexuality, and death. So death and suffering. Why is there death and suffering? There's a great video in here that gives you some perspective on that. These are all free of charge to you as well. The church has decided to support the website and this program so that we can hand out these cards and show them in our church as well. This is just yet another way that we can help carry out the Great Commission. So I just want you to know that we want to resource you with opportunities and ways that are easy for you just to make a connection and a contact, just to invite them to church, invite them into a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you don't have all the answers. Don't be afraid of that, just to start the conversation. There's another resource that's on the table as you leave the church as well, and that is a tract. And I like to wrap the tract around the card and offer the movie too, myself. But you can take any of these three or all of these three. And if you need more, we have free Bibles. We buy a case of Bibles on a regular basis so that we can offer them to anybody who needs a Bible. And we have lots of different opportunities and lots of different ways for us to work toward this end. And here's the deal. You know, a lot of times people join a church and they think, it's all about what the church can offer me so that I can get my needs met. But I want you to know this church not only exists to help you with your needs, but it exists so that you can reach out to others to help them have answers for their needs. And I can tell you, it's not just a quaint saying, it's the truth, but Jesus is the root of the solution to every one of our needs. Truly having that relationship with Jesus is the root. And so this church exists so that you can not only have your needs met, but to also help meet the needs of others through this church as well. And so as we read verse 28 again, let's in that perspective, let's hear these words of Paul. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 29, to this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Here's another point. We're going to be going through those notes here in a minute, but just to set the tone, a lot of Christians get in this thing, and then we realize that it really is labor. There really is work involved. That this isn't always easy. And a lot of times we think, well, it must not be God's will because it doesn't feel easy to me, or this feels like it's work. I want you to know, guys, work was in the garden before sin entered. Work is good. And to do God's work is good. And if you give God the first fruit of your time to work for Him, I can tell you He will help put everything else into kelter in your lives. And so this was Paul's desire. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full understanding of full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. You notice this is an entirely different book of the Bible, and yet we see that same theme of the banner that we just showed you, of the theme verse for this year, about walking in Christ. Walk in that newness of life. Walk in Him. Walk with Him. Let your walk be about Him. So walk in Him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you also have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Let me pray for us before we examine this further. Dear Father, please open our hearts so we can understand your word today. Bless us to understand it so that we can also, with an open heart, put it into practice in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's break this down just a little bit. First of all, I think that it's important that we do set goals. And it's a good idea to have a goal, because without a goal, we don't really know what we're shooting for. It's just like a shooting match or a shooting contest. There's a target set up there. And you put you got to have a purpose for why you're shooting at the target. What is the purpose for shooting at a target? It's the bullseye. It's the center of the target. So you have a goal in mind, and you're shooting toward that goal. And so that even if you miss the goal, you miss by a little less than the bullseye. But if you have no target at all, and you just go out and close your eyes, and you just shoot, you have no idea what you're going to hit. And it sounds a little bit like some of us when we go deer hunting, amen? But every once in a while, we realize there's a goal in mind or whatever activity that you may have. In fact, a lot of people are pretty aimless in their pursuit of life because they really don't know what their goal is. And so I think it's important for us to set goals. And as we set goals, we need to set them according to right priorities. And I think the Bible gives us our right priorities. And as we see here, these priorities are listed out. As Paul listed them out, the mystery of the gospel was being revealed to the saints. And out of that, guys, that's us. We're the saints. Those of us who are blood-bought believers in Jesus Christ are saints in Christ. And we're the ones that the mystery's been revealed to. So if anybody's going to reveal it to the next crowd, it's going to have to come out of us. Because we're the ones that have it. Which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. Okay? Therefore, we preach and teach Him to all men. You notice, Paul wasn't picking and choosing here. He was letting God figure out the results, but he was teaching it to everyone that he had opportunity to. Anyone that he could gain opportunity with, that was his goal. He had a goal. And that we do that with all wisdom. Where does the wisdom come from? We better be seeking God for that wisdom. Amen? So that we might present every man complete in Christ Jesus. There's our goal. There's our end. And to this end, we should labor. Do I get an amen? You see, setting the priorities, that this is the goal at the end, but these are the different stages that we have to go through to get there. So if we look at the words that are being used in the Scriptures that we've been reading there today, we saw the word labor, we saw the word striving, we saw the phrase, His working in me mightily. In me mightily. Okay, we're going to break some of that down just a little bit more a little later on, but I just kind of want to have this fresh in our minds. And then we see the words, great conflict. That's where a lot of us get out of the boat right there. As soon as there becomes a conflict, we're like, well, this must not be where I'm supposed to be. Because I don't like conflict, and I don't like conflict, but I want you to understand, guys, if you're standing for the gospel, don't take it personal, because it's not you that it's about anyways, it's about Him. And if they're opposing Him, they've got a bigger problem, and so we really need to understand there is going to be a conflict, because Satan is alive and well still. His head's been wounded, but he's got some time here where he can continue to deceive nations and continue to do his work. And so there's going to be some conflict. Our daughter Rebecca has been telling us that she's been feeling a lot of spiritual conflict in Bulgaria as she's been there. I'll tell you why. Because they're actually making a difference. Take heart. If you're feeling a conflict, that means you're probably doing the right thing. Make sure that it's for the right reason, but you just keep doing the right thing because God's the one that's going to settle it all in the end. So, those are some of our terms that we're dealing with. Let's remember that it's all done, guys, for the body of Christ. It's all done for the body of Christ. Now, in this particular situation, it was all being done for a body of Christ that Paul had never seen in person. Can you imagine that he would have this kind of dedication, this kind of heart, that he's actually sitting in prison right now while he's writing this letter, and he's sending it out to a church that he's never seen with his eyes. He's praying for them. He has a desire for them. He's got a goal for them. And he's connecting with them. I want you to know the body of Christ is important, guys. You're part of it in belief in Jesus Christ. And the body of Christ and Cadet meets in this little church right here, at least part of us. And it's important that you actually show up and that you're part of it. I believe that whenever you're missing, there's something missing from the body of Christ here at Cadet Baptist Church, because God's called you to be a part of it. So I want you to know it's significant whenever you show up. It's significant when you come to worship. It's significant when you volunteer to help. It's significant because we have an end goal in mind. And it's for the body of Christ to do this. That they may be, and we do it not only through the body of Christ and by the power of God through the body of Christ, but we do it for the body of Christ as well, that they may be, first of all, encouraged in their hearts. This is Paul's words, not mine, the Holy Spirit speaking through him, encouraged in their hearts, knit together in love. This needs to be our goals here in this church, and our goals to promote that, not only in this church, but in the worldwide body of Christ. Knit together in love, attaining to all riches of full assurance and of understanding. I'm going to tell you something that grieves my heart is whenever I speak to somebody who's been in the church for years and I say, you know, are you looking forward to heaven? Well, I hope I get to make it there. Guys, they don't even have a full assurance in their hearts. How are they going to be able to help others have a full assurance in their hearts? I'll tell you how you get that full assurance. It's by fully understanding what great thing that you have received, that you've truly received it, by being in the Word of God and understanding salvation from the Word standpoint, not just from a feeling. You see, if you just had a feeling one day 40 years ago, and so you kind of responded to a feeling, but you never grew beyond that, you're probably not going to have that full assurance in your heart. So, of understanding. Number four, to the knowledge of the mystery of God. That's what he wanted them to have, the knowledge of the mystery of God. Where are you going to find that? Again, it's in the Word of God. You see, a revival in the church needs to be a Word-based revival, not a feeling-based revival. When this church is revived, this local church, because of our time spent in God's Word, it'll last. It's going to continue to propel us in the right direction. Whenever you're discouraged and you're looking for hope, go to the Word of God. When you're encouraged and you look to worship, go to the Word of God. Whenever you need guidance for your life and you get up in the morning and you're feeling aimless and hopeless and you're not sure what to do, go to the Word of God. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to be self-feeders on the Word of God. Just coming to church on Sunday, I mean, it's good, but it's not enough. You need to be in the Word of God all week so that you can get that knowledge of the mystery of God. And then the fifth one listed there was the fullness of God. I want you to know the fullness of God. That's what Paul desired for the church that he was ministering to. That's what we need to be doing this for, is that there might be that encouragement in the heart, knit together in love, attaining to all the riches, the full assurance of understanding, the knowledge of the mystery of God, the fullness of God, the Father and Christ, understanding the Godhead's work in our life. So that, you see, we continue that this is like stepping stones, so that the church will not be deceived. We heard all the positives. That was Paul's desire, for them to have all those things. Why did he want them to have all those things? So that they won't be deceived with persuasive words. You see, if you know the Word of God, you're going to know when someone is perverting the Word of God. You're going to know whenever somebody is teaching a false teaching of the Word of God, because you'll know the right Word of God. Also, that the church may have steadfast faith. Not a wavering faith, one that comes and goes from day to day. Is your faith as strong as you would ever want it to be? I would say most people would say no. So let's work toward strengthening our faith each and every day. Guess what? Again, we find the Word of God is such an important part of that, right? And so that the church also will walk in Christ. That's our desire, is to walk in Christ, so that the church will have deep roots. You know, do you ever notice whenever you plant your garden, it takes a long time for the roots to go down before you start to see the top come up? It drives me nuts. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but like, I plant green beans and I want to be picking them the next week. It just don't work that way. It just don't work that way. It takes a long time for the roots to go down deep. And if you allow those roots to go deep, what you're going to find is you're going to have a greater yield whenever the top comes up. You find fruit trees and things of that nature. It takes time for those roots to go deep. It's okay. We'll be patient. But guys, we need to be working toward our roots going deeper. You know, whenever I first became a Christian, I wanted to know everything there was to know, but I found out you just got to... How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Right? How do you get stronger in the faith? One day at a time. One scripture at a time. One verse. One passage. One chapter. But you keep at it so that you grow deep roots being built up in Him. You see, the deep roots, guys, that plant can survive drought time. That plant can survive hard times because the roots are deep. That's where we need to be. And also so that the church will have an established faith and that the church will abound in it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We want to have thanksgiving. Amen? Be thankful. It's the root of everything else. So look at the words that are being used here again. We're going to look at them again. Labor. That sounds like work. Yeah, it is. Labor. You know, it's work to minister to children here on Wednesday night. It's work to drive the van. It's work to minister and teach a Sunday school class. It's work to bring the food. It's work to clean up. You know, a lot of times, there's people still here cleaning up on Wednesday night at 9 o'clock in the evening. It's work. I can tell you, many hands makes lighter work. You can pick one of those different things that I just mentioned and join in with it. And what we'll find is that the Lord calls you to join in with, we'll be able to minister to actually more people. I'm going to tell you a primary need that I seek to have filled this next year is that van that sits out there, that pretty red van. I am praying for somebody who's dedicated to ministering, to making sure people can make it here on Sundays and Wednesdays. I know it's going to take a commitment. I know it's actually going to be work. I'm just going to tell you up front, it is work. But I can tell you, to this end we strive. We labor. That word striving there, that next word we're going to look at, agonizomanos, all right? I'll butcher it up. It's the Greek word that's being used there for striving. It literally is where we get the English word agonize. To strive means that there's going to be some agonizing. Don't think you're doing the wrong thing because it isn't easy. Guess what? God never said it was going to be easy. It's necessary. And He will hold our hands and He will give us the strength to do it. But we've got to be willing to actually take it upon ourselves and say, here I am, send me, Lord. You see, His working in me mightily, I just couldn't get past that wording of that. Not through me, not for me, not around me, but in me. It means I've got to be the first partaker of that working of God, that it might come out of me then. And do you know that the word there is dunamai? Guys, it's the word that we get dynamite from. What it means is you take in the Word of God daily, and then whenever you volunteer to actually serve God, it's like dynamite coming out of you. It's like dynamite. I got one amen. It's like dynamite. Guys, we've got the power of God in us. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. And yet we stand back all meek and mild saying, oh, look at what the world's doing. We're so discouraged. Guys, be encouraged. Because that's an opportunity for the power of God to do powerful things. We need to step up into that position and realize who it is that lives in us. For if the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you, folks, it's more powerful than dynamite. You see, it is His working in me mightily. That's what Paul said, and it's no different for us today. I want you to have that dynamite flowing through you. And then he goes on to say, and there was great conflict. There's going to be great conflict. In fact, again, we see the root word for agony. Guys, in that conflict, it's going to feel like agony sometimes. And a lot of the church says, hey, time out! This ain't what I signed up for. I heard that prosperity gospel out there, and it's supposed to be all peaches and cream for me. No, sir. You see, Jesus died on a cross and He said, you pick up your cross and follow me, folks. Because you see, in the end, there's glory. Do you want to see your family members in heaven? Do you want to see your neighbors in heaven? Do you want to see others in heaven? You're His chosen instrument to take the gospel to them. It's His work in them. We can't force them. We can't talk them into it, nor are we going to try. But I tell you what we do. We deliver the message. We do it faithfully. And it's going to be work. There's going to be some agonizing over it. But I can tell you, it's going to be worth it. First desire's got to be for ourselves to have all these things. Do you desire to have that kind of power flowing through you? I'm going to tell you that I'm still hung up on that word that's the root word for dynamite. Because, guys, this is like when Jesus performed miracles. And he said, I feel that power has gone out from me. Guys, when that woman touched the hem of his garment, she was healed. A 12-year illness healed in an instant. Amen. That same word is the one that's used there. You have it in you. And we sat back like all meek and mild, saying, oh dear, I can't do anything. You've got the power of God. Could he do something? He wants to work it in you so that it comes out of you. We need to give him the time of day to do it in us. And then we need to show up so that he'll do it out of us. And you see, to this end, we can strive to labor for others to have what we have. Guys, that's the gospel. We get it so we can offer it to others. He didn't just save us just for us. He saved us so that we can take the gospel to the world. If you look back at Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, we're reminded of something. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith. Need to underline that part. It's an if-then statement. If indeed you continue in the faith. This promises to those who finish with God. And other people would, you know, they'd want to ask me a bunch of questions. Well, what about so-and-so? What about that so-and-so that fell away? Will he be in heaven? Don't worry about that so-and-so because you can't make no choices for them, but you can make a choice for you today. You can make a choice for you today. So if God's prompting your heart to say, I'm tired of sitting on the sidelines. I want the dynamite coming out of me. Then today's the day to do something about it. Stop worrying about old so-and-so that gave up before the finish line. You just make sure you don't give up before the finish line. You make sure you finish well. You stretch for the tape. You run it to win. And if we'll do that, I'm just going to tell you, revival's going to come. Awakening will come. And that's how it comes, is through you. Not just through that other person that we root on by the sidelines. Get in the game. God's saying, get in the game. It's for all of us. He's saying, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. You are a minister of the gospel church. You're not just called to one particular person in the church being a minister. Every blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ is a minister of the gospel. And there's some that are called to different areas of that ministry, but you are called. And if you have any doubts about it, I want you to jot on your little sheet there, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Write that down, because I want you to linger on that just a little bit more later on today. But I'm going to read it to you right now. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, to this end, let us labor that we see every person have the opportunity to know Jesus as their Savior. Let you be a part of that. Let you be committed to being here. And I can tell you, your presence in the church from week to week is part of that. Your presence, participating in the outreaches of the church, is connected to that. Your presence in your families, making sure that you're helping to point your families in the right direction, is a huge part of that. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to have a final song, and then we're going to have the Lord's Supper. So let me pray for you now. Dear Father, As we have seen Paul's heart to labor to this end, we realize this is Holy Scripture. This is for all the church, that this would be our heart to labor toward this end. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this church. Thank you that you have given us one heart, one mind. We meet in this one place as one body, but we go out from here still connected, Lord, through prayer, through encouragement, day to day, to do that one calling. And that's to make you known among the nations. Lord, to make disciples of all nations. Help us all to be in the game. None of us to feel like we're just on the sidelines. If we feel like we're just on the sidelines, then I pray we'll do something about it today. Lord, we'll make a commitment that we're going to continue to work till Jesus comes, that we're going to get our hearts in this thing all the way. We're going to plead with you and pray to you that you'll give us a desire, that you will give us a burning desire, one that will help us to finish well. And Lord, no matter how many days we may have ahead of us, no matter how many days we may have left, that we're going to live them for Jesus. Lord, bless this congregation. If there's anybody here that hasn't come into salvation yet, they haven't really joined the family of God, help each one of us to know that all it takes is turning to you, turning away from our sin. It's called repentance. Turning to Jesus, believing that you died for us and that God raised you from the dead. Calling on you to be the Lord of our life and we shall be saved. We can start this new walk with you. Lord, let this time be a time of invitation that anybody who wants to give their heart to you or just surrender to the mission you've called us to, that we would do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, land of rest for thee, I sigh, when will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home? We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered all. To Jesus Christ I fled for rest. He bade me cease to roam and lean for comfort on His breast till He conducts me home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. I sought at once my Savior's side, no more my steps to roam. With Him I'll brave death's chilling tide and reach my heavenly home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. O land of rest for thee I sigh, when will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home? We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. To Jesus Christ I fled for rest. He bade me cease to roam and lean for comfort on His breast till He conducts me home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home.
Right, we're gonna go ahead and call our ushers forward, and everybody else that wants to stay for the Lord's Supper can have a seat, and we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. And so, if this is your first time to do it in this church, I just want to encourage you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that's been followed the Lord in baptism, and you want to stay and be a part of this, we invite you. You don't have to be a, quote, official member of the church. But as we do, I'm going to grab my Bible here in just a second. As our guys come forward, I want to say something. I want you to know that all of us at times are going to feel like giving up. You ever feel like that sometimes? It's like, this is just too hard and I feel like giving up. I want you to consider something before you ever decide to do that. There's a lot of people that are watching you to see how you finish. What's it going to do to them if you give up part of the way? You know, you want to consider yourself first. What's it going to mean if you give up? What's that going to mean about your relationship with Jesus? Is it real if we just give up? But I also want you to consider, what's that going to do to everybody else? You got kids watching you. You got neighbors watching you. You got family members watching you. You've professed faith. And I'm going to tell you, we've got to finish. Let's do it together. Let's do it well. Amen? All right. So we're going to have everybody gather here. Let me grab my Bible real quick. I want to thank all of those in this church who do serve daily. All of those who show such love to one another. In fact, I want to read a real quick thank you to the church. I want you to know you guys are our family. In fact, the thing I asked you to be praying about with my mom last week, I felt totally comfortable just bringing that out before the church, because you guys are our family, and I know you care about my mom as well. But I just want to read a little thank you note to you from our family. Dear family in Christ at Cadet Baptist Church, thank you so much for your generous gift and kind words of encouragement and a thoughtful card, and also for the coffee cup. I have taken it for a test drive, by the way. And we are so grateful for your love and support of our whole family. We love each of you and consider it a privilege to be called by God to serve alongside of you for the cause of God's kingdom and Cadet. So we want to thank you from the Jones family for being our church family. And just think about how in the last night of Jesus' life, he spent it with his spiritual family, didn't he? You know, he had people, he had a mother, he had brothers, sisters, like half-brothers and half-sisters to him. But who did he spend that really intimate time with right before he went to the cross? It was with his disciples. It was with the people that were like-minded believers, right? And, you know, such a special thing that we partake of here in commemoration of that. And not only that, it says to do it in remembrance that he's coming back again. Amen? He didn't leave us here orphans. He's coming back again. Jesus is coming back. And so I want to praise God for that as well. And so it says that in that special time that he gave thanks and then he broke the bread. And so I'd like for us to do that now. And so I'm going to ask Steve if you would pray over the bread, please.
Father in heaven, I thank you that we can have this remembrance this morning, Lord, of a body that was given, Lord, that you just gave everything for us. Mm-hmm. Lord, he didn't withhold a single my Lord. He didn't withhold anything, Lord, that he gave it all. Lord, thank you for that unspeakable gift, Lord. Thank you that we can have this sweet remembrance, Lord. He was certainly the bread of life. He's the bread of life. And the sweetness of the cup, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have our ushers are going to hand out the bread first. Sorry. And all right, we'll have just a small intermission while we get some bread. Yeah, it probably is. And I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So, as Paul said these words, what he was determining was that we need to have our heart in the right place with God. Now, that doesn't mean that you're a perfect person who hasn't made any mistakes and that you've never sinned. That's not at all what it's saying. What it's really saying is, have you come to a place where you've repented in your heart? Have you come to a place where you have accepted Christ as your Lord? He's your boss. He's the one ruling your life right now. Have you followed Him and began to follow Him in obedience? So examine your hearts and see if there's anything that we need to repent of during this time as we hand out the bread. But if you feel like your heart's in the right place with God, then we invite you to do this with us today. And so we want to praise God. Now we have some bread, and we're going to let our ushers take. If you two guys want to serve this side, and we're going to let Dan do the piano player and anybody that's off to the sides, and then you can start on the back and come forward, okay? And we're going to let these two fellas here do this side. If everybody would just hold your peace until we all receive, then we'll partake of it together. So as this, we realize, is a representation of the body of Christ that was broken for us. I want us to take and eat today in remembrance of what He has done for us, His body broken for us, pay for our sins. So let us eat. Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. As she was playing that song, Whole Rugged Cross, I know I've told some of you, that was my grandma and my dad's favorite song that they sang in church. I didn't know it, like whenever we all went to church together, they would told me at different times. It was kind of interesting, but I can still hear them sing that every time I hear that music. And I look forward to singing it with them in heaven someday, you know, just amazing what that's going to be like to worship him together there. But in the same night, after he had passed out the bread, he also had the cup and gave thanks for the cup, and he offered it to them. And such a beautiful description is, I understand that in their culture, an offer of marriage was to take the cup. The bridegroom would take the cup and offer it to the bride-to-be. And if she took the cup and then took a drink, she was saying yes. Yeah. And I think that's a very interesting similarity to what we do today. You know, our bridegroom is coming back for us today, and he's saying, are you going to be waiting for me? Are you going to be keeping yourself for me? And I think that's one of the things that we do in receiving of that cup. But we know that cup represents his blood that was poured out. So, Adam, would you like to pray over the cup, please? Amen. And so the same remains for as we pass out the cup. We can ask each one who was going to partake to take one and hold it until we all receive. Thank you, guys. What an awesome thing that we get to do together. And I just want you all to know that I love you all. One of the most special times I've ever spent in breaking bread of this nature with others was in Sri Lanka. And there was a group of Christians that were going back into persecution into Pakistan. And I served their communion to them or their Lord's Supper. And to look at the earnestness and the love of their eyes was incredible. And I could imagine Jesus standing there that night saying, this is my blood This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you. And he said, remember me whenever you do this. And he said he wasn't going to do it again until he drank it anew with us in our Father's kingdom. And so as we partake of that today, remember Jesus is coming back. And we're going to actually have a feast, a wedding feast with him in heaven. It's something to look forward to as we do this today. So let us drink. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And in Matthew 26, it says that they sang a hymn. And so what we're going to do is we're going to make a circle. We're going to grab a hand next to us. And we're going to sing a final hymn on our way out. Kind of like they did. And by the way, there was bread in these things. We don't know what happened to it. But someone did their job properly because there were still crumbs in it. They just disappeared somehow between that day and today. But praise the Lord, we got the problem solved. And so we're getting it figured out. There you go. All right, we're going to sing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Us. Brother J.D. helps to lead us, and Sister Shirley.
Minds, hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds, like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our heart in prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear. And often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder far, it gives us inward pain. But we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
Amen. Ah, praise the Lord. All right. You going to recognize birthdays?